Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great Thursday to you. It is a terrific Thursday, September 17th, 2015. You have tuned in to Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody, always available to you via our website or social media, Facebook, Google+, Vine, Twitter, Instagram. We're all across the World Wide Web, reminding you that your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I am excited that you guys have tuned in today. Yay! We're back. We have kicked off our fall season, and we are in full swing. Yes. And so today is going to be no different. If you tuned in on Tuesday, you know we're all about that willpower. Yes, that's what we're talking about, willpower, the inner desire within you, not externally, internally, within you to push past the setbacks, to push past the obstacles, to push past the opposition, and to make it towards your goal. And so, without hesitation, we're just going to keep exploring that topic, and we're going to keep reminding you that, hey, this is your life. This is your gift. This is your purpose. This is your destiny. And as we begin to take ownership of that, you're right, it is mine. It's mine. It's mine. My responsibility, my dreams, my desires, yeah. As we begin to take ownership of that and personalize that right there, we'll begin to nurture it even more. So, of course, you know what I did, right? I had to Google and look up willpower just to make sure, you know, I'm giving you the best, most up-to-date information of what it is and how to obtain it and what you can do with it and all those sorts of things. And, of course, and not of course, but I was on track. Always, there's always more. And I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not telling you stuff that I wouldn't try or have not tried. So I happened to come across Zen Habits. Yeah, I know, right? Zen, peace. So how can you peacefully enact your willpower? There will be certain seasons and there will be certain times in your life that your goals and your dreams and your desires will seem like it's not going to happen. And during those times, you will have inner turmoil because you are fighting within yourself with what you want and what you see. And the two may not look like they are lining up. They may not even look like they're ever going to align. They may look like they are as far apart as the North Pole and the South Pole, and you're just kind of unsure, kind of, I guess, surfing and riding the waves of life, and you have not been able to see any success or signs of success. And what we say during those seasons is hold on. Look at your plan again. Pull out your vision board again. Start speaking to yourself. Because remember, that was your assignment on Tuesday. Start talking to yourself and say the right things. Don't say what the naysayers are saying. Don't say what the dreamer, what the non-dreamers are saying. Because if you take a dreamer and you mix it with a non-dreamer, something's going to happen. Someone's going to overpower the other. But when you start to associate with other dreamers and reality builders and people who shape and mold their dreams, and you can see stuff come to them, like the law of attraction is coming after them, and they don't have to pursue as hard as they once did because stuff is starting to line up. When you start hanging around those people, what you will find is that your inner optimism, your inner hope is renewed. It is restored. It is so important to hang around and associate with like-minded people and even people who think higher than you. People who've actually overcome and lived a little bit of life further than you. People who have been able to call those things that be not as though they were and then watch it manifest. Because there will be seasons when you're calling things forth and you're speaking life over it and you've got all your optimism and all your positivity, but it starts to dwindle. Just know that's normal. That is okay. That is part of the process. Because, honey, if it was easy, everybody would do it. But because it's not easy, only those of us with endurance can make it through. And the only way to build up endurance is to keep doing it and keep doing it and stick with it and stick with it and trying this over here and trying that over there. Because you never know unless you try. My grandma used to say it like this. She says, nothing beats a failure but a try. But every time you fail, try something else. Every time it looks like it's not getting any better, try something different. Every defeat you face, just know it's part of the process that's building you and preparing you for this next level. And I know there are some of us or some of you out there who are saying it's been defeat after defeat. It's been heartache after heartache. It's been heartbreak after heartbreak. And it's been all these rejections. And that's exactly what you needed for that season to build up the stamina that you need for this season. Because once you learn how to overcome objections and once you learn how to not take it so personal, you're building another layer onto yourself and you're stronger. It doesn't feel like it in the moment. Yes, you were hurt, wounded, and hurt all your little feelings, tore your vision all apart. But what happens is you become a stronger version of yourself. And in that strength, it's your exoskeleton. That's your outside strength. But also it sends something to the inside of you that once that pain starts to heal and to mend and to repair, there may be some scar tissue, but the pain isn't there anymore. You may have some battle scars, but the pain has subsided. And it's just another physical reminder that you've made it past that moment, past that injury, past that heartache, past that heartbreak. And what's ahead of you is greater than what you've become. Some of us are even going to need some repair surgery to rebuild the very stuff that was torn down. But after that surgery, if you stick with it and follow the physical therapy to rebuild and repair and restore, you come out better than when you went in. It's just a natural course of life. See, everyone has something on the inside of them. Only a few of us choose to activate that, to work on that, to build that, to watch it manifest, because it takes time. Anything lasting and worth having doesn't happen overnight. And stuff that happens overnight, we're not usually prepared for. And although we say we want it, we haven't built up the maturity, the character, or the stamina to keep it, to maintain it, to help it help itself to become better. Because we haven't even learned how to help ourselves to be better. And you cannot teach what you don't know. You can't. And you can't grow past any limited container that you still see yourself in. In the spring of the year, a lot of people do the whole seeding thing, and that's where you take seeds and you germinate them and you keep them until they sprout, and then you plant them in the ground. And that's fine for the spring of the year if that's how you choose to do it. But if we look at our lives and our gift of life and our purpose in life, a lot of us fail to give our seeds the proper care and nutrients that they need. Because seeds can stay in a pack for up to years and not grow at all. But when you take that same seed and you apply moisture and you apply sunlight and you put it in the right fertilized soil and it's out of the pack and it's now in this new environment and you're optimistic about that seed and you're hopeful about that seed, you know that that seed has life-giving abilities within it. Now, you need to look at yourself as the seed. Are you still in the pack and nothing has happened? Who's in your pack? What's in the pack with you? Because nothing's going to happen as long as you remain the same. But the minute something different happens, not just the shaking of the pack to hear if the seeds are in there, and not just the opening of the pack to check things out, but the minute that you're taken out of the pack, and a lot of us resist that moment as well because we want to stay with what's comfortable and what's familiar. But to go to this next level and to really get your dream off the ground and off the paper and off the business plan, you're going to have to come up out the pack. So when that next level, when you actually come out the pack and you're placed in this new environment, it seems like life is experimenting with you. It seems like someone else has already formulated a hypothesis about what's going to happen with you. And any hypothesis needs to be tested, and there needs to be a control group. And so many times we look at the control group and we say, oh, I can never be that, or I can never do this. And right there, when you have the other negativity around you, that's not the good soil. That's not what you need to be. You need to be planted in some good soil with some more nourishing and some more nutrients. You need to be surrounded by people, not just of like-mindedness, not just other seeds that have life within them, but people who will look after you and nurture you till you get to a place of sustainability where you can start to make it on your own, where you start to see your own roots grow, when you start to feel your own self break out of the inner shell that was break out of the outer shells that was once protecting you and helping the inner you develop into a new version of yourself. Because no seed remains a seed in the right environment. What happens is something called transformation, to change from one state to another. And any seed that refuses to change, what happens? It still remains a seed. It may get molded, it may get nasty, it may even die off. Still a seed with something inside of it that was never brought forth. But those seeds that are bold enough to believe in themselves, who are bold enough to tap into nature and say, I have a purpose, I have a desire, there's something inside me I can't explain, and every time there's darkness, new things start to happen within me. Most seeds don't just grow in daylight and sunlight with the wonderful rays that the sun gives off, although that's a wonderful thing. When do they grow? They usually grow in darkness, in a deep, dark, cold of some dirt, a new environment that's out of the pack and away from what's familiar. And when they get into those situations, then all of a sudden something happens on the inside called transformation, and all of a sudden the transformation starts to look like, hey, I'm a little stronger than I once was. Wait a minute, I'm a little bigger than I once was. Wait a minute, I'm a little stronger. I'm a little wiser. You know, I haven't been here before, but this place feels right. And because it feels right, I'm going to continue to grow. And when you're dealing with seedlings, you put them in you take them from the soft, wet container, then you move them on to a smaller container, and you put them in not direct sunlight, but you want them around, depending upon the seed, you want them around as much sunlight as possible, because there's a process that happens under the right conditions. When the sunlight hits the green leaves of the seed, excuse me, it gives it its nutrients and its energy. And that's all fine and good, and that's great. But again, most plants, seeds and seedlings, don't just grow in the sunlight, because there's something called fall. There are seasons of darkness when the light is not always going to be there. And there are seasons in your life where everything's not going to shine bright. It's going to start to look dim and despair. And you're like, oh, nothing happens at nighttime. But you'll find out that late in the midnight hour, when a lot of us are crying and weeping and moaning and not understanding these what growing pains that we're going through, that pain is serving a purpose, that our root system is getting stronger, that now that we're away from the pack that we once were in, we can now develop into the person we were meant to be. Now that we have been transplanted from where we started and replanted in something else, we now have space and opportunity to spread out. And again, a lot of people resist that. And in resistance, it could be good or it could be bad. Now, if you see that your resistance is causing you not to grow, guess what? Your resistance is bad. You are resisting the wrong thing. But when you start to resist the container that you're in, it's okay, because that's a sign and a signal that you're growing beyond the borders of what could formerly hold you. But now you are going to be transplanted into a larger container. And in that larger container, your root system will have the opportunity to spread out even more. And as your roots spread out even more and explore new territory, you'll find yourself in more dark situations. You'll find yourself in more dim situations. And what's going on above the ground may not reflect what's going on beneath the ground. Many homeowners complain year after year that something's going on with my septic system, something's going on with my pipes. And so one of the plumbers will come out there and say, oh, yeah, we know what's going on. Your tree root, the tree that's in your front yard, the tree that's in your backyard, the root system is interfering with your pipe. Or really the pipe is interfering with the root system. But the tree that's in your yard is going beyond its borders and is now interfering with your underground piping system. What the plumbers will then do is they'll come and dig up the septic area that's being hindered by the tree. The tree is just doing what the tree does. What you see above ground is nothing compared to what's really going on beneath the ground. And when people see you, they may see you as just a sapling, but they have no idea that your sapling is in the right position, that you've got your tap root grounded, and that your other roots have spread out so deep and so far and so wide that come what may, you're still able to stand. And a lot of entrepreneurs and CEOs and big dreamers, people wonder how you're still standing. You've been through this. You've been through that. You've been through X. Why do you keep getting up? You're worse than a weeble. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Life keeps throwing this at you and throwing that at you, but you're not failing. You're not falling. I don't really see too much growth in you, but there has to be something that is sustaining you. And that something is called willpower. Because you know that inside of you is your life-giving force. Your dream, your desire, your goal. And you know that the end of the story is that you win. And since you're going to win, you might as well play to win. And so when storms come, you may sway this way and you may sway that way. But because your root system is intact, because your root system has gone out far and wide and longer and stronger than you ever thought ever imaginable, because you've studied, because you surrounded yourself with the right people, because you allowed the fertilizer of life to do what it was supposed to do, and you got the nutrients out of that situation, you have become a better version of yourself. And so now you're able to stand and withstand. And there has to come a time when you're saying, you know what, I'm not there yet, but I see it. I see it clearer. I see it better, and I'm going to get there real soon. So I'm going to surround myself with people who are, quote, unquote, higher, people who have achieved what I want to achieve. I'm going to read books. I'm going to listen to podcasts. I'm going to educate myself. And if I've got to go through the manure situations and the fertilizer situations just to add nutrients to what I have, come what may, I'm going through the process. I'm committing to the process. It's not overnight. This is not an easy bake oven. But I'm going to tap into my willpower, and I'm going to hold on to hope. I'm going to make it through this situation as I have the situations in the past. I'm going to make it through this situation the way I made it through the last one. I'm going through this storm the way I went through the last one. I made it through. My umbrella may not have made it. The raincoat may not have made it. I may have lost some leaves along the way. But in all, I made it through. And because I made it through the last situation, surely I can make it through this situation. Because I tried. And I failed, and I tried, and I failed, and I tried, and I failed. Does not mean I'm going to keep failing. It just means I'm one step closer to succeeding. Because sometimes it's called trial and error. You got to go through and go through and go through and go through. And you may need trial after trial after trial. And some people get it quicker than others, and that's fine. But if you're on the road to getting it, just be happy you're on the road. Because a lot of people won't even take the road. They'll just say, yeah, well, I should have, would have, could have. But I didn't. And who wants to live life like that? If you've got one shot at making it, give it all you have. I don't have that much. Okay, fine. Don't give that much this time. Next time, give a little more. I'm not talking financially. I'm talking about what's on the inside of you. If you can't write a 7-page journal every night, write a paragraph. If you can't write a whole business plan in a week, write the first executive summary. If you can't fill out your whole college application on one day, no problem. Break it down into chunks. Surround yourself with people who can help you. Talk to people who've already filled out the applications, who've already gone where you want to go. Not that they're setting your course, but it's just a friendly reminder. They can do it. You can do it. They've done it. It's doable. And for some of us, we want to go into territory that's uncharted. No one's ever done it. And you know what? You're not the first person to try something that no one's ever done. But just because no one ever did it does not mean that you can't do it. It just means we haven't found a way yet. So if you keep trying stuff and it's not working, don't worry. Those are just your trials. And every experiment, there are trials until we can form a conclusion. And sometimes it feels like the conclusion is it'll never happen. It'll never work. I can't do it. And when those thoughts pop into your head, pull out your willpower once again and slay that demon of can't. Because can't will freeze you, it will halt you, it'll stop you. But you have something inside of you called willpower. And that willpower enables you to anticipate and plan for times of low self-control. Because it's coming. Every dreamer, every CEO, every executive has had the seasons of low self-control. That's where you put in place an accountability partner. That's where you put in place tools and books and other stuff that you need that will nourish you and nurture you until you can get yourself back up to speaking more positive stuff over yourself, your dreams, and your future. Exercise your willpower muscle, and that's how you're going to get more of it. That makes sense because, like any other muscle, if you, you know, you go to the gym, you see people, oh, Tuesday's arm day, and they keep working out their arms, and they switch this up, and they switch that up, and after months and some time, you can see the difference in the development of their muscle. Why? Because they kept using it. And so you may not have the willpower today to run a 5K, but let's start off running around your block. You may not have the willpower today to put your resume out there and follow up with thank you cards. Okay. Or put your resume out there and follow it up and have the cover letter and the pretty package, everything all matches. You may not have that today, but put yourself in position so that when they see that marks that you're putting out there, there's something that they will remember you by. Because the more you exercise something, that's how you're going to get more of it. And the last thing that the Zen says that you should do for willpower, great, is drink some orange juice. Right. Who knew? Are we all diabetics? No. But it says that glucose is one of the key ingredients that your brain needs for effective self-control. Willpower. It's not just for breakfast anymore. That's funny. So some, again, my take on that is, again, we're turning back to nature. We're going back to a garden mentality, going back to like an Eden mind state where everything natural is actually good for you, and that is the meat that you need to be eating. And so if they say orange juice because it produces or it helps your glucose level, which helps your brain power, go for it. Try it. Start your day with orange juice. When you start to feel low in the day, like my time of lowness is like between 2 and 3, I'm going to start drinking me some orange juice. I'll let y'all know how that works. Who knew that it really could be so simple, but it seems so hard? Orange juice, we can do that. Exercising our willpower, we can do that. And anticipate times of low self-control, yeah, we can all do that because it comes. I have a friend, he's like, I can help you chart your life. And anticipation, the way he charts it, is so that you can anticipate, based upon past and previous behaviors, future times of downtime or uptime or seasons like that. I was like, oh, that's great that you can do that. I don't really need that service, but I think that's awesome that you can do that. Because after 30-plus years, I'm well aware of where my down seasons are, where my up seasons are, based upon past behavior. And during those times of downness, I know I have to start surrounding myself with audiobooks and power books, and I have to start going to conferences, my, for lack of a better word, mojo going, because I can't give you what I don't have. And so if I keep surrounding myself with the power thinkers, and if I keep surrounding myself with top motivators, and if I keep surrounding myself with teachers and people who pour into me, that only helps me be a better version of myself, and it helps give me more momentum to pour into you. You see how that works? It's always a cycle. It's always a circle. Your dream, your gift, your purpose that you're holding on to so tight is not just for you. You're here to help serve all of us, and we need what you have to offer. For some of you, you just haven't realized it yet. We need what you have inside of you, your gift, your talent, whatever it is, sewing, baking, knitting, talking, speaking, whatever it may be. We need that to manifest in the earth at this season. We need you to prepare and do everything that you can do because what's inside of you is needed in the world. You don't even realize how special you are. You don't realize what's going inside of you right now. I think it's amazing that Dr. Miles Monroe put it like this. What's the richest place on earth? He says the richest place on earth is the cemetery because there's so many dead dreams. There's so many books unwritten. All because other people got into other people's heads, told them they shouldn't, they couldn't, they wouldn't, as people believe that. All because there was obstacle after obstacle, and somebody got too tired to go over another obstacle. He said, Dr. Miles Monroe said, that when you die, you should die empty. That your gift that you've been placed on earth to bring forth should not die with you. I'm a firm believer in that. I wholeheartedly stand behind that statement. If you've been given the opportunity to have a gift, a talent, something on the inside of you, and you choose not to, for whatever reason, because we all have excuses, yeah, for whatever reason not to bring it out, I think that's so selfish. And I understand pain, believe me. I understand rejection, sure do. I understand despair and hurt. I understand all of that. But I also understand overcoming, going through wounded, going through anyways, in spite of, yes, I'm limping, but I'm going to make it toward my goal. Yes, I'm wheezing, but I'm going to make it past this goal. Yes, I'm out of breath or out of shape or out of whatever, but I'm going to make it to this goal. And I'm even going to surpass it. Watching the track stars run the relay races, what you will find is, oh, everyone's trying to get to the finish line, but they don't stop at the finish line. They go past it. Then they have to do the walk down and the cool down and all that that they do for their muscles' sake. There has to come a time in your life where you're like, that goal is so close, it seems so far away, but the goal is actually so close that not only do I want to reach it, but I want to surpass it. I want to surpass it because what's inside of me is so great. And when that willpower activates, you can't stop at the finish line because the finish line is just an illusion. For authors, most of us can't stop at one book. That's just an illusion. Most of us can't stop at one contest or one winner because that adrenaline kicks in, and then when that adrenaline hits that willpower with that dream and that desire, and they all mix up together, you surpass even your own goals. And you're like, I didn't even know I had it in me. I didn't know I could go another mile. I didn't know I could make it another lap. I didn't know I could face 20 more rejections. But at the end of the day, when that one yes came through, it was all that I needed. And not only did the one yes come through, but three or four yeses came through. It's like when you're looking for a job, you don't get one job offer. You get like three or four at a time after seasons of unemployment. I've been there. I've done that. It's just like all of a sudden everyone knows your name. People in high places, your name has gone before them because of something you've done, some mark that you've left, the way you carry yourself, the fact that your social media doesn't look trashy, but it actually looks classy still in 2015. Wow. What's inside of you can take you further than you've ever planned on going, can help you reach higher than you've ever planned on reaching, and can help you go further. I'm like Dr. Miles Monroe. Do not die with your dream inside of you. Do not add to the richness of a cemetery. As we are living our life out loud, make sure you turn that dash on your headstone into an exclamation mark. Let the world know I was here, I came, I saw, I conquered. I did what I was called to do. So at the end of the day, you can say, it is finished. Not I'm finished, not I'm done. It is finished. Done the very thing that I was called to do. And now I can be at peace. Because you're not going to have that peace as long as you have a dream that's waiting to be birthed inside of you. Wonder why you got sleepless nights. Wonder why you got early mornings. Wonder why you got migraines and seasonal stuff that you never had before. It's that dream trying to get your attention. It's that dream trying to wake you up. Say, hey, I'm still here. Hey, can you come work for me? Hey, hello, I'm here. Oh, it's stress-induced. No, it's dream-induced. What you're going through right now, your restlessness and stuff, that's dream-induced. That's your dream trying to come forth and get your attention. Give your dream, your assignment this weekend, give your dream extra attention. Give your dream some nourishment this weekend. And when we come back together on Tuesday, I just know that the inboxes and the messages will just be like, yes, I gave my dream some attention, and I'm excited with the results. All right? All right. It's been another great episode of Couch Conversations hosted by yours truly, Rev J. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Give your dream some attention. Tune into yourself. Talk right to yourself and nurture that dream inside of you. I'll talk to you guys on Thursday. No, today's Thursday. I'll talk to you guys next week, next Tuesday. As always, may peace follow you, go before you, and surround you, unless you got a dream that you're not giving attention. then I hope your dream just disturbs you all weekend and you can't get any rest until you give it attention. Okay? All right. Y'all have a good one. I'll talk to you Tuesday. Bye-bye.